840-1360-97.5 WTAQ News. Talk. Sports. Indeed. I want to start, however, with neither news. I can't say neither nor because I have three. You know how often people do that? They do either or and then they name like five things. You're not supposed to do that. If you say either or neither nor, you're supposed to have two things. I will not be starting with news. I will not be starting with talk. Well, I will because I'll be talking. So, okay, forget it. I won't be starting with news. I won't be starting with sports. I will be starting with weather. I've got a couple of things. There's isolated areas of fog today, and you've heard Joe on the traffic telling you about the big one in the valley. A lot of cars involved, a fog-related multi-vehicle crash, it appears, from what we know right now. But there's these isolated areas of fog. I drove through one on Highway 172 on the way here today, and I wondered if it wasn't the phenomenon again where in this cold, and again, I had no idea it was going to be like 15 below. How am I missing this? I just had no clue. And it happens at times where smokestack emissions can't push because of the cold. I felt, again, I could be wrong. I felt as though that's what I drove through on 172, and I know there were heavy. You thought so too, Jason. And I know 172 was experiencing the same thing. However, there are, as I said, dense fog areas in the valley. It was weird looking. That's why I didn't think it was fog. I'm not claiming to know, though. So I sent an email to Pete Petoniak, busy as he is, during the Fox 11 morning show. I asked him, I said, you know, is this maybe the smokestack emissions again can't push out? He said that may be the case. It has happened before, but today there is some warmer air just to our east with Manti and Sheboygan, Manitowoc and Sheboygan, at 17. You don't believe him? Well, will you just stop? I haven't even given his full explanation yet. Manitowoc and Sheboygan at 17 and Green Bay at minus 13. There's some warmer air trying to push in here, so that may be more the cause. I think that probably is the case. I think both things are going on today. And as he said, it might be both things. Whatever the case, be careful. Yeah, it's weird. Huge disparity. If you're listening in the Fox cities, you're warmer, for want of a better term. Well, that's what Pete put warmer air in quotes. Warmer, so to speak, than we are up here. Which leads me to this. Pete Petoniak has on his blog, the records keep falling. You know how miserable you thought this winter was, or is, I guess? You were absolutely right. And by the way, when I said I just felt in my bones, literally, it was going to be a bad winter, I didn't mean this bad. Some of the records that have been broken, days below zero has been shattered. Now, this is for Green Bay, according to the National Weather Service. Thus far, we have 54 days. That shatters the old record of 1976-77, which until this point had been considered the worst, the coldest in modern history. 48, and then 45, and then another 45. That's 1962, 63, 58, 59. 77, 78 was bad. 41. 1903, 04. 41. 1916, 17. 40. 54 days below zero. Days below 10 below. With today, we have broken that record. And I think that's a pretty impressive record. 26, tops 25 in 62, 63. And you'll see a lot of the same winters up here, obviously. 35, 36, 76, 77, 78, 79, 1911, 1912, 03, 04. We've had 26 days below 10 below. You throw in the snow, and this is just hellish. Finally, it appears, in the next 7 to 10 days, we're going to get a significant warm-up. Jesus, no, we're not. It's going to last forever. So on my birthday in August, it's going to be, what, about 40? That has happened, by the way. I remember my birthday is early August. I remember 50s. I remember attending a Brewers game at County Stadium on my birthday in the 1980s. 50, first pitch, I think, was like 53 degrees, which is ridiculously cold. Well, opening day. Boy, building that roof wasn't the dumbest thing anyone ever came up with. Now, was it? On Miller Park. Yeah. But now when it stinks like this, at least they can play baseball. I mean, you still can't do any appreciable tailgating. Yeah, it's just... So it has been brutal. You know, it's the only thing making this winter worse. You know, there's just worse. Jason says, what could possibly make it worse? Well, I'll tell you. One thing could make it worse. And that would be people saying that this is due to global warming. I'm so tired of that. And that's why they call it climate change now. So they can blame everything on man-emitted CO2. Well, yeah, these extremes are caused by climate change. Do you know how stupid that sounds? Well, apparently they don't because they keep saying it. They buy into that crap, and they consider themselves the sophisticated students of science when they don't know the first thing about the science of global warming. If they did, they wouldn't say things so tremendously stupid out loud or put them in emails, Beth. Yet they do. They just, it's ridiculous. Whatever the warming trend was in the late 90s, back to half of the 20th century for that matter, it eased in the last 15 years. And that's my belief, and I'll admit my belief, my opinion, why in recent years, and by the way, this isn't the first bad winter we've had. We've seen several of them in recent years. We're obviously trending to the type of harsh winters that I knew as a kid. There's just no question about that. In fact, the last winter this bad was when Jason was 1 year old. 76, 77. You turned one in February of 77, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, I didn't do it on the air. Belated happy birthday. Like I said, don't worry. I won't forget the 1 in 2 years. I've got it on my calendar already, right now. Don't worry. I won't miss that one. And neither will the listeners. It will be a spectacular event. It'll be one for the books. All right. Let's see. So, yeah. This is how brutal the winter has been. By the way, one other thought on this. Actually, two other thoughts on this. Car sales, and I would think particularly used car sales, just were brutalized in January and February. Total industry sales were unchanged from February 2013 at 1.2 million vehicles, while the sales pace came in at adjusted annualized rate of 15.3 million vehicles, according to AutoData. That was an improvement over the 3% drop posted in bitterly cold storm-swept January. But the cold winter, people aren't going to go out car shopping. Now, I would think particularly used cars, because we need to find a used car right now, a third car. My wife and I, to say the least, haven't been all that interested in going out looking at used cars. Plus, they're covered in snow, and it's very, very difficult for dealers. Here's something, darn it, I thought about this one. I thought about this one, and I blew it. I didn't search into this topic. I wondered about grave digging during this cold winter. Now, you know, there was a time when smaller cemeteries wouldn't bury over the winter. They would store. I think it was it 2001 that changed. You actually have to dig because the technology exists now. Well, this is just brutal. And there's a story in the Journal Sentinel talking about the different tools they have to use. Propane, charcoal, jackhammers. And even with this stuff, a guy's digging a grave where the frost goes down 4 feet, and you're digging 6 feet. And they actually have this thing called frost teeth that they put on a front end loader. It looks like fangs, and you pound. Oh, boy, that's just got to be. Well, you got to do it. What are you going to do? But, yeah, they are still digging graves. I knew a guy when we were in high school. He did it by hand for pay. It actually paid pretty good for the day. I mean, in the early 80s, I think it paid, I don't know if it was 100 a grave, but it was close to that. Now, it's good money if you're a kid, but boy, is that hard work. I mean, you got to do it right, too. It was brutal work. But he was a big, strong guy, and he could do it. But whew, you earn your keep. I mean, that's a deep hole. 6 feet is a deep hole. I believe that's still the... I don't know. I'm assuming that's still the distance. All right. Yesterday, I asked the question as to whether Jim Schmidt, the mayor of Green Bay, was it his place to try to invite the Pope to visit the shrine to the Virgin Mary, apparition that appeared in the mid-19th century, that, of course, is just outside of Green Bay. Was it really his place? Now, I think it's a good idea to invite the Pope when he makes a visit to the United States, but was it really the mayor's place? And I threw it out to you yesterday via email and Twitter, and what most of you said is, no, the diocese should have asked. Paper has an editorial today applauding the mayor, and I'm not going to say I entirely disagree with this. The mayor said not only would the shrine appeal to the Pope, but the hardworking people who live in the salt of the earth community would appeal to a humble and compassionate pontiff whose concerns about poverty and the average person has created a more welcoming church. Plus, Green Bay is home to a potential venue for a huge outdoor mass, Lambeau Field, which would be completely an amazing moment in Green Bay history to have a papal mass at Lambeau Field. Wedged between farm fields on 6 acres near the community of Champion in the town of Green Bay, and I think most of you know about the shrine, we applaud the mayor for extending the invitation. As members of the media, we say it never hurts to ask, and that's exactly what Schmidt has done by inviting the head of the Catholic Church. Within days, the invitation has become a campaign. They talk about the website, Twitter account, and all of that. A visit by the head of the Green Bay Roman Catholic Church may be a long shot. Compared with other big cities that the Pope visits, the Green Bay area is a speck on the map. But Pope Francis is forging a reputation as a pontiff who is humble, who connects with the common man and woman, who reportedly sneaks out of the Vatican at night to minister to the homeless. That's why it seems logical to us that the mayor would invite the Pope to visit a region known for its hardworking, family-oriented people, not the glitz and glamour of a metropolitan city. I have to do this last part, though. Plus, it can't hurt to ask. You have to dream big. Unless it's downtown Green Bay, then big is bad. Now, I agree with most of this. I still question whether it's Jim's place to do it. Because here's my counterargument to this. So their whole theme is that this Pope is really the first Pope of the people. And that, you know, the salt of the earth, helping the poor, that's really Francis's mission. That's what defines him before he became Pope. I still argue that Jim is doing this almost entirely for self-promotion. I said almost. I'm not saying that the mayor isn't real in his faith. I'm not saying all of that. But having him do this in the way he's doing, it looks like he's trying to put that speck on the map. And I do have a problem with the shrine being used in that way. Several listeners, and I brought this up yesterday, said what the mayor should have done is worked much more closely with the diocese. Jason, as a member of the Green Bay Diocese, you agree with that. You're a member in good standing at a Catholic church. Well, I didn't say it as though that was something difficult to believe. I just was pointing out that you have skin in this game. You have standing. He should have at least worked more closely with or entirely suggested it to. I'm sorry, but it looks like his goal is to get national attention on his city. I'm not saying that's his entire goal. I think it would be naive to say that it wasn't a big part of his goal. Oh, you think I'm being naive by even qualifying it? Boy, you're in a surly mood today. I'm going to stop telling them what you're thinking. All right. Speaking of surly mood, I dress pretty casually to work these days. Everybody does, right? it's just the office scene has changed. I used to, this is before Jason knew me, I used to wear ties to work all the time. I did not stop wearing ties because of the casual movement in the office. I did it because I couldn't button the top button. I'm just going to be honest. I can do that now thanks to the 30 pounds I lost and Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. I don't know that I'm going to be wearing ties anymore, but all sorts of my clothes are fitting a lot more comfortably. I'm actually going to have to do some shopping. I yesterday started week two in earnest to the program, lost another pound. So if you want to find out, call Dr. Litwin today. Again, it's a doctor-supervised weight loss program, 920-268-1386, 920-268-1386. Free assessment. Find out if it's right for you. By the way, getting emails from listeners who have had success, you want to email me, jerrybadershow@mwcradio.com, 920-268-1386. Much to get to in the next hour. President Obama admits Obamacare is a failure. He did. He just doesn't know it. It's 856.